Kevin Love has been suddenly given some MVP consideration, and he deserves it.
This is where you bring a team back on the road.
This is where those things kind of take off.
Exactly. Against the top pass rush team, the top third down defense. I mean, everything right there in front of you.
Second and eight.
Across the middle.
Intercepted. It's Moss. Love was trying to hit Dontayvion Wicks.
I've got a ton of confidence in him, but it's not just about him. I think a lot of times, the quarterback is going to get too much credit when you win and too much blame when you lose, and that's just the nature of it. But I think that there's nobody else I'd rather have, than Jordan.
Matt LaFleur talking about Jordan Love. Spiegel and Holmes show. We are talking Bears-Packers. We are going to get a Bears hit, one word, from Chris Emma. Coming up at 5 o'clock, he is at Hallis Hall.
Can I give you a synergy item about Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre?
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre both won their lone Super Bowl as Packers quarterbacks when they were 27 years old in their sixth year in the NFL and their third year as an NFL starter. Jordan Love is 27 years old in his sixth year in the NFL and his third as an NFL starter. That is crazy, eerie synergy for something that they have done by design in drafting the replacement and letting them watch and learn. It's pretty amazing. Rob Domofsky wrote a great piece in ESPN a couple days ago about what Mike McCarthy did with Rodgers in those first 3 years and what Mike Holmgren did with Favre. They went 9-7 the first, first three seasons for Holmgren, and the first two with Favre. They were 9-7. Then they had a conversation like, hey, you want to win a Super Bowl or not? And Favre's like, yeah, I do actually. Okay. Then he came back and threw 38 touchdowns and 16 interceptions.
I think Jordan Love is a really interesting amalgam of the two guys. And I know that those aren't the only two guys that I should compare him to, but considering the success the Packers have had at stabilizing the quarterback position for three decades, and I guess now we're going to a fourth with him being there as long as he's been there, I think now when I watch him play, I feel like he's a little bit more Favre than he is Aaron Rodgers. And the reason I say that is he'll do all this cool stuff, and then you'll see something where you're like, what? Why did he throw that? Like, why did he make that particular throw?
But did he stop that now? This is his best year in terms of that.
Well, he, like Kuhn said, Toyotathon. Whenever Toyotathon is going on, Jordan Love goes through a really good run where he'll throw one interception over six or seven games.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll be the player you go, what was he seeing there? And did he just think, oh, I can make that throw, and I'm going to make that throw?
The concussion derailed the season. To that point, he had been on a heater, and he still finished in the top 10 in fewest interceptions, touchdown percentage, passer rating, average pass completion length, touchdown to interception ratio is in top 10, 25-plus yard completions, tied for sixth in the NFL with games of 100-plus rating. Like, he's still, like, there are people that believe that he has turned the corner in terms of the swashbuckler, gunslinger, interception thing.
Yeah, it's hard because I look at him and I go, I'm waiting for that next thing. Like, it feels like he's right there when you start talking about the elite quarterbacks in the league. It feels like he's right there, and everyone's waiting for him to step into the conversation with the other guys that are in that tier of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen. Now, I thought that last year, the way that he played November, December last year, and then you have the playoff game against Dallas, which I feel like was a little bit more of Dallas being stupid at the beginning and then Green Bay running it up on them midway through that game. I felt like, okay, here we go. This is the part where Jordan Love turns into Jordan Love superstar. And I just, I still find myself waiting, and it's weird. And this could end up getting clipped next week. I don't fear him as much as his resume says I should.
Interesting.
Everything that's on paper about Jordan Love says, hey man, this guy has got elite talent.
The back half of 2023, when he threw 18 touchdowns and had one interception over the last 8 games. And then in that playoff against Dallas, he's 16 of 21 for 272, 3 touchdowns and no picks. I mean, you're like, oh my God, they did it again. These bastards, they did it again.
They found another one of these guys that's going to be here for 15 years and make your life a living hell.
And he's already there. 18 touchdowns, one pick. What the hell happened? You know? And then it hasn't risen. It hasn't stayed that good. It couldn't possibly. If he hadn't gotten the concussion and finished that game and the Packers win, which it looked like they could have, right? And it's their division.
Everything's upside down.
Everything's upside down, and we're not having this conversation. He got knocked the hell out. That man got concussed, as you saw right there, then and there. And that is what I fear, that is what has derailed it and not the quality going back and forth.
Well, what makes me uncomfortable about this game is what you said, like the way that he played, the way that he was able to manipulate the Bears defense to get the matchups that he wanted. And then there was execution in after getting those matchups that you want, which is high level quarterback stuff. He is clearly capable of all of those things. And I keep looking at some of the analysis, like the non-emotional data, and seeing some of the things like, oh, you know, the Packers have a 54% chance of winning the game, which I go, wow, that is interesting, considering that they don't have the second best pass rusher in the game. The guy that's supposed to pick up the slack for him hasn't had a sack in forever. Their quarterback has been in the concussion protocol. Their running back has water on his knee. Now, I thought LaFleur made a brilliant move. I was 100% with him on sitting guys. It didn't make any sense to expose any of those guys where there's nothing to gain.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of the only things where there's nothing to gain other than playing time and reps. And you couldn't even use it as like a Malik Willis game because he got hurt in the game that they played against the Bears because of Montez Sweat.
So you had a Clayton Toon game, and then you went to Desmond Ridder, which deservedly got 2.5 minutes this morning on the press conference. I thought that was a great use of the first couple minutes. Didn't you, Tanny?
How dare you?
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of Pro Football Hall of Fame Writers Association impresario Alex Kuhn, did not think he was worthy of those questions.
Lawrence, here's what scares me
Desmond
about
Mitter.
Ridder.
Excuse me, Ridder.
Lawrence, here's what scares me about Jordan Love, okay? He can run, but he usually chooses not to. He loves the blitz. He adores when you blitz because he throws it right behind the blitz or he throws it deep. He doesn't care who he throws it to. He spreads that ball around to whoever the hell happens to be open. He's really good at processing and getting to his third option or his fourth option. There'll be times you're like, I forgot Dontayvion Wicks is on this team.
Yeah.
They still got Bo Melton? What the hell? How many receivers do they have? He doesn't care. I think he's really, really good. And if he's not putting the ball in harm's way in that Cutler-esque, Favre-esque way, then I think you got troubles against Jordan Love.
I also think that it's one of when I say that, I don't necessarily mean it as a pejorative, because some of that stuff that Favre was doing, only he could do.
Oh, yeah.
And I do feel like Jordan Love has got some ability where you're like, yeah, I understand why you tried it.
Oh, no, that's the thing. Like, this Domofsky.
Why you specifically tried it.
Like, in the Domofsky story, like, Holmgren sits down Favre after that third year and he's like, second year, and he's like, all right, we need to get this and this and this out of your game. We need to do that. And Favre's like, but that's just how I play. That's just what I do. And Mike's like, you want to go 9-7? You want to win a playoff game? Okay. You want to go to the Super Bowl? We got to get this stuff out of the game. And he's like, okay. All right, fine, whatever.
But then there's the game when you could have gone to the Super Bowl and
that guy comes back.
You could kick a field goal.
I know that guy comes back. What are you doing, brother?
That's one of my favorites.
This is the NFC Championship.
It's my favorite sound bite.
It's great.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw. Looking at that play, he should have just held on to it, Paul. He should have. He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward. But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I had all the quotes wrong. But boy, the essence is good. That's what happens when your play-by-play guy is also a talk show host.
Uh-huh.
Bad idea, although he's one of the best in the game. But generally, if you don't like opinions on your broadcast.
Oh, man. I mean, seriously. Was it Michael Kay? Right? The category is lead play-by-play for a team that is also a talk show host capable of taking out the driver. You know, there's not many
of Michael
those.
Kay doesn't do that, though, I don't think. Does
no.
It? Yeah, he's not particularly critical.
Every once in a while.
When it came to, like, the Yankees defense, he got real
he
critical.
He got all over him about the defense at
but
one
with
point.
That call, what I like about that particular call is I'm going to do my job. I'm going to call the play so everyone knows what happened. I'm going to be calm in this moment for a second. I'm gonna go through all of this, and now that I have given you the call, I've given you the highlight. Now let me give you some context here.
Pete Burris is just
yeah,
stupid.
I'll let my analyst also have a word here quickly
he
here
did.
Before I really take out the driver.
Burris is like, I got a thought. And Paul's like, well, I got a thought too. I have a bigger thought. It's the Super Bowl. This isn't Detroit.
This isn't Detroit.
Poor Detroit.